Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is Dr. Glenda Reynolds. She is a dentist with the Calumet Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center. This is Dental Awareness Month, so what better time to talk about dental health? And it's a subject, as I'm finding out here, there's a lot I don't know about, and things that, you know, we want to make sure not only I know, but also our general audience. So, Glenda, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
How long have you been in the Copper Country?
A very short time, about 3 weeks or so.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Where'd you come from before this?
So I resided for about 20 years in New Hampshire, and I was in private practice there for about 17 years, and through my experiences with organized dentistry in New Hampshire and Dental Society, I became very aware of the need for dentistry outside the four walls of my dental practice, and I left private practice because I didn't feel I had adequate ability to address those issues.
Hmm. Now, we're both transplants.
You know,
since I've now been here for 5 to 6 years here, but I'll probably always be a transplant in the eyes of people that have been here their whole lives. But
yeah.
I know what brought me here, a job. What brought you here?
The same thing. So the position at Upper Great Lakes is what brought me here. I did go to school in Sault Ste. Marie. I completed my bachelor's degree at Lake Superior State University. Now it was college then. And when I left my previous position, I asked my husband, do you mind where we go? And he goes, well, let's stay in the northern United States for the four seasons. And I said, how about Michigan? He said, yeah, that we can do that. And so I applied for a position that I saw posted and was fortunate that it met my requirements for what I was looking for in my professional life.
So I've heard that this area has two seasons, winter and winter's coming.
Yeah, so that's what I hear.
Are there different kinds of dentistry? Do you practice like a general dentistry?
Yes, there are different types of dentists. I do practice general dentistry, and most of the dentists, there's a much, much higher percentage of general dentists, but there are dental specialists, oral surgeons, doctors who specialize in treating root canals, pediatric dentists or children's dentists, and specialists who specialize in treating the gums. And that leads me to the next point, that there aren't any of those specialists in this area. So the closest that people have access to those specialty services if they go, for example, to Marquette, Escanaba. So they have to travel a distance to have access to those services.
Yes, we've run into that problem as well, trying to get appointments for my daughter. Is you have to make the appointments, and sometimes it's like 3 months in advance, and you're trying to guess if you'll be available. And then if you've got to cancel that appointment for some reason, you go back to the bottom of the list and you're trying to get another appointment. So
yes,
there's certainly, we're an underserved area when it comes to dentistry.
Yes. Yep. I'm finding that out. And I think that it's particularly underserved in regards to the population that present with barriers to care, problems with transportation, problems with economics, those types of things that can prevent them from seeing the private practice dentist.
Now, for Dental Awareness Month, you've mentioned that the ADA has designated this Give Kids a Smile Month.
Yes.
Focusing on children's dental health. And
yes,
we're going to talk about that now. And then later on, if we have time, we'll talk about the dental health for the rest of us. You know, there's I think that there's things that people don't know because there are things I didn't know as we were already talking earlier.
Yes.
But let's start with children.
Yeah.
My mother, dental health for her children was very important because when she was growing up, I guess it would be in the 50s, you know, she didn't have access to great dental care.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's got a lot of teeth that had been, you know, basically something was starting to go wrong with your teeth, they pulled them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of them in the back of her mouth. She don't have them anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it was important for her that her children had healthier teeth. And really, to her credit, we really did growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it important to, you know, start early with children and taking care of the teeth?
So you're starting to establish habits. So you want to plant those habits early. So that is one of the biggest reasons to start early. But the health of the child actually begins with the health of the mother before the child's even born. So it's important for us not just to reach children, but to reach the young mothers as well, so that we can start to teach them about the importance of oral health and what they can do to help keep the child's teeth healthy. Now, understand that a child doesn't have the ability to rationalize why they need to sit in a chair and have a procedure done, and you're 12 inches from their face and you're not somebody that they're comfortable with. So if you can prevent a child from having to have that experience, then you can give them a good start for a healthy mouth in which they can have a good relationship with a professional, instead of setting up a fear cycle for them. More importantly is that you want to prevent the disease from occurring. So dental decay in children is more common than asthma, so it's extremely prevalent. In the patient populations that have barriers to care, like I said, transportation, economics, so that's a smaller section of the population, have a higher, more significant part of the disease. And so it becomes more difficult to treat as it gets more significant. And we want to try and prevent the child from having pain, from not being able to eat, having difficulty with speech, or having an infection in their mouth, missing school, preventing them from learning. So good oral health helps them in a variety of different ways.
We see a number of reports where obesity in children is just continues to grow and grow. Mm-hmm. And I would have to believe that in connection with that, if you have a child who is not eating very healthy, doesn't have access to very healthy foods, that probably dental hygiene is also lacking there as well. And those two things probably would go hand in hand.
You're correct. So dental decay and dental oral health is a disease process that has several levels of causes. We call it multifactorial. And part of it is the family situation, family dynamics, what they're eating. So the root cause of dental decay is sugar. And it's not just that it's sugar, it's the frequency or the length of time, the contact time of that sugar to the surface of the teeth. So one of the things we want to prevent is early childhood caries or cavities. And that starts when on the baby teeth, when children are less than 5 years old, even less than 3 years old, and you see it by the teeth being rotted out to the gum line, and that's from the child walking around with a sippy cup or nursing on a bottle when they go to bed with anything other than water in it. So really recommend that there's a significant nutritional standpoint for the oral health of the mouth, and that we recommend that a child that's on a bottle only have milk in it during feeding time and nothing, so milk or water, so no juice, which people have a difficult time understanding.
At what age should you start scheduling appointments for a child?
This is interesting because it's now advocated by the American Dental Association and the American Association of Pediatric Dentistry that we start to see the child by age of one. And that allows us to do an exam of the child. It's usually a quick exam. They're usually crying. That means their mouth is open, so that's good. But it's a great time for us to have a really good conversation with the parents and be able to talk to them about oral health, what's needed for nutrition, frequency of dental visits, how healthy is the parent's mouth, because that's going to be related to the health of the future health of the child's mouth. So it allows us to have a good conversation with the parents at that age.
I like that you brought up the sippy cup. It makes me think, what other, habits that are parents giving their children or things that they believe is correct that are really wrong and that may be doing more harm than good or really they just need to correct?
Yep. So the sippy cup is a big thing because they'll put things other than water in the sippy cup. And a common thing is to put juice or diluted juice in the sippy cup. And it's not something that we would recommend. And the reason is because it's the contact time of that sugar from the juice, because fruit juices have sugars, and it's a contact time of that sugar on the tooth. Now, when sugar comes into contact with the tooth, there is about a 20-minute time of acid being built up on the surface of the tooth. So if they're walking around with a sippy cup, they take a sip, they put it down, 20 minutes of acid activity burn on the tooth, then they go and they pick up the sippy cup again, that's another 20 minutes after that. So it becomes this cycle of contact time and activity of the bacteria producing acid, which is what causes dental decay.
As they get older, I imagine that soft drinks take place of the juice problem.
Yeah, Mountain Dew is the worst culprit to that, and maybe I shouldn't name anything in particular.
They're not a sponsor here.
I go to the grocery store and I go in the aisle and I see just loads of this Mountain Dew being loaded into carts, and I just want to put a poster up and say, no. But yeah, Mountain Dew is our big culprit, and coffee with sugar is another huge culprit. Out east, we had Dunkin' Donuts, and they were on every street corner, and it wasn't uncommon for them to put half a cup of sugar in a cup of coffee. And so for young adults, we would see dental decay become more active because they were partaking of this sipping of coffee and sugar. Mm-hmm. So it really can span a lot of different beverages, and I think one of our biggest culprits is our liquid sugar, our beverage choices.
So caring for your teeth, and let's keep with the theme of children,
yeah.
What are some steps should you take? Is, you know, I know if you're trying, you'll make sure that the kids brush their teeth before going to bed. You always kind of, remember hearing that as a kid all the time too.
Yes. So getting the teeth clean, the mouth clean before bedtime is really important, no matter what age group it is, because you're removing or disorganizing the bacteria that's accumulated over the day. And at nighttime when you go to bed, if that's left in place, that just sits on the surface of the tooth and is allowed to break down to structure. So doing something to clean the mouth before you go to bed is really important. Toothpaste, and for children in particular, a pea-size amount of toothpaste on the toothbrush is all you need. You don't need to squirt a whole inch across the toothbrush head. I even think that as a parent, that the best thing you can do is brush your children's teeth until we know they can brush it themselves. And typically, I recommend a parent do that for the child until they're about 9 years old, at least once a day, to go in and help the child brush their teeth. And that is because toothbrushing is a fine motor skill. It requires a lot of finesse of your hands to be able to do that. It's not as easy as one would think it is.
You send your child in to brush their teeth and they come out, you know, 30 seconds later, I'm all done. You're like, well, you don't know really what they did in there.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And there's some tools that I have that I give parents that can help them with knowing how well the child has brushed. So in the dental office, I coach them on how to use the tools and how to set up a time frame with the child. And it's kind of an agreed upon pact between the adult and the child, so the child feels like they have some say in what's going on and some agreement in it. And it seems to work pretty well to help start to change the habits of the children.
With modern toothbrushes, are they pretty much created equal these days?
No. So the manual toothbrush with no power is okay. It's better than nothing. A battery-operated toothbrush is better than a manual, and a power toothbrush with a rechargeable battery is the best that you can do. It takes you about 7 times longer to brush with the manual toothbrush to achieve the same effect that you would with the rechargeable toothbrushes.
Really?
Yes.
Now, what makes them better?
It takes the They're easy to use because the heads of the brush are moving. All you have to do is position the head of the brush on the appropriate part of the tooth, and the brush does the work. You're only moving that brush a very small distance to get the mouth clean. When you're brushing with a manual toothbrush, you're using big, long strokes across the mouth, and as you said, 30 seconds later, you think you're done. All of them require practice and coaching on how to brush effectively so that the time that you're brushing is being spent wisely. Not that you're just brushing, but that the time you've been there, you've achieved the goal of removing, I call it the schmutz, off from your teeth.
My method of toothbrushing is like taking sandpaper to wood. So
yeah.
I probably benefit from something like that. Yeah. We haven't talked about flossing. You haven't mentioned it. So is that still an intricate part?
Yes, it is. And so there's been a big to-do out there that flossing's not needed. From the dental perspective, we still believe that flossing is very important because it's the only way that you can actually disorganize the bacteria in between the teeth and just below the gum line. Tooth brushing is much more important, but flossing takes you to that next level. It's that next step as you're looking at improving the health of your mouth.
What are some things that parents should look for to know that there's something wrong, that you want to have the regular checkups, but if they start noticing like bleeding gums or something like that, those kinds of signs that they need to get their child in right away?
Yes. So when you're looking at signs to get your child into the dentist right away, you're looking for the child complaining of inability to eat, they don't want to eat, maybe they open up and you see a pimple on the gum, really red, vibrant red gums are things that we see when the child needs to be seen right away, like today or tomorrow. So you're looking at pain as and swelling as that biggest indicator. Other than that, that appointment is really needed, but isn't an emergency. You're looking at changes in color of the teeth. So are you starting to see white spots at the gum line of the teeth, or something that's even more advanced? And that's something that we look for. Those are early signs of dental decay. But if they have brown or black spots on the teeth, that's an indication that decay is there.
Let's talk about regular checkups.
Yep.
And how often should you schedule an appointment? Again, we're still talking about children.
So. Yes. The American Dental Association recommends as a general guideline that you be seen by the dentist 2 times a year. But there has been a big push for us to use something that's called a caries risk assessment. And so that is a tool that allows us to look at the health of a child's mouth and talk with the parent and determine what the risk is for future disease in that child's mouth based on habits and existing and past disease. And so then we rate the risk as low, moderate, or high. And if they fall into the high category, then we increase the frequency to see the dentist to put prevention interventions into place. So we would see the dentist maybe 4 times a year instead of 2 times a year. So dentistry is moving to a frequency of need to be seen based on the risk of dental decay or the risk of gum disease.
How is getting your dental checkup changed since, when we were kids?
Yeah. Well, like I said, the implementation of the caries risk assessment, that's a big change.
Is it still putting those things in your mouth that taste so horrible?
Unfortunately, dentistry doesn't necessarily taste great. They have made a lot of improvements in that. One of the big things is that we used to get fluoride in these trays and have to sit with these trays in your mouth. Now we have a better source of fluoride, and it's called a fluoride varnish. And it takes us about 5 or 10 seconds to apply the varnish with a brush over the surface of the teeth. And you just walk out with this on the surface of your teeth. And it's really easy. They have different flavors. The flavors are tolerable, and it is a better source of fluoride for the surface of the teeth.
Before we begin, I made a comment here that you sent you laugh, and I thought it was hilarious too, but that we focus a lot on children's dental health, and you know, for most adults, when you've reached a certain age, you don't go to the dentist unless you have to, because something needs to be pulled or drilled, or or you're experiencing some pain. And you said you'd like to change that idea.
Yes. The idea to see your dentist more frequently allows you as an individual to really know what the health of your mouth is and to make better decisions for yourself. And most problems can be treated early, and dental disease is almost entirely preventable. You can prevent almost all of the level of dental disease if you're able to implement the recommendations from your dentist. So the goal is never to have a cavity in a tooth, because once you have a cavity, then the cavity is going to get bigger because of the length of time that that tooth is in your mouth. It's more susceptible to problems. So if we can keep the integrity of the tooth fully intact, that reduces the cost of dentistry over time, allows people to maintain their teeth for a lifetime. And for me as an individual, I love to eat. I enjoy the flavors of foods, and nothing works better than my own natural teeth. And so if I can help patients achieve that for themselves so they can enjoy the foods that they eat for a lifetime, then I think that I've really helped to accomplish something for them.
Why is it that when you're kid and you go to the dentist and you have these cavities, or hopefully you don't, but kids do, and it doesn't seem to be as concerned with an adult? Is there a change in your body that you don't have the cavities when you get older?
No, and actually that's changing. And it's changing because people's diets are changing from to more processed foods and to more sugars in foods. And so we do see a lot of dental decay in adults. And then as you age and you get into the geriatric population, the older adult population, the dental decay is rampant or as bad or worse than with children.
Really?
Yes. Yep.
How often should an adult see a dentist?
In the very least, they should see them at least once a year. So if financially or work-wise or travel-wise, it's hard to get to a dentist, at least seeing them once a year so you can be properly advised on what you can do to help maintain the health of your mouth, and then have a discussion whether once a year is frequently enough for you, but to get that professional advice. And again, the frequency is based on an individual's health and risk for future disease.
You mentioned barriers to people getting care, and of course that dental health is not usually included in most people's health insurance plans anymore.
Even yes,
the ones you get from the state of Michigan, once you've reached a certain age, you don't get it.
Yes.
Are there ways that through the UGL that you can work with people that want to get care, but it's not covered by their insurance?
Yes. So the area is very fortunate that UGL is here. It is what we call a federally qualified health center, and we're designated as that, and because of that designation are awarded a grant which helps us to be able to afford to provide care to individuals regardless of their ability to pay. So we provide care on a sliding fee scale. So if you don't qualify for Medicaid and don't have insurance, we use your income to determine whether you qualify for a reduction in the fee. We accept Medicaid, we accept private insurance, and we accept those who have the ability to pay for whatever they want. So we accept anybody regardless of how they pay for it.
Where is the Calumet Upper Great Lakes Family Health Center located?
Okay, so because I'm new to the area, I'm not really familiar with streets and roads, but it's at the the new building is at the intersection.
It's the 6th Street extension in Lake Linden Avenue when it crosses 41, which becomes Calumet Avenue.
Yes.
That's the new building.
That's the new building. And the existing building that we have is in right in that parking lot between Pat's Superstore that's there? And the Ameri Inn.
American.
Yeah, yep. So it's right in between those two buildings. Yes.
If somebody wants to make an appointment, how can they do that through the UGL?
So at this time, we are making appointments for our dental center starting in early March. We're expecting our new dental center to open at the end of March. So we're going to be starting to put appointments in early March, and they give the front office a call.
Thanks so much for coming on the program.
Yes, thank you very much, Rick.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.